Good afternoon. You're listening to Gambling with an Edge. Now here are your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is longtime slot director and casino executive, Buddy Frank. Buddy Frank, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Well, thanks, Bob. As you know, I'm retired now, but I still keep my hand in it quite a bit as a consultant and a writer. I write a lot for CDC Gaming Reports.
Uh-huh. Now, recently we had Global Gaming Expo, G2E, the world's largest gaming trade show here in Las Vegas. We're going to talk about some of the things we saw there. So, at G2E, both Acres Gaming and IGT leased showed systems that would track the skill of video poker players, allowing casinos to correctly evaluate how good a player is and reward him appropriately. How close are these products to coming to the market?
Well, as you know, Bob, that's like that show is like a carnival last week for people in the industry. It's just fun to see all the new products. But I knew I was going to be on this show, so I looked at those things that interest you. One trend, I was here 2 years ago, and you and I both noticed something that some of the manufacturers, and I think at the time Scientific Games, the old Bally Corporation, put cameras in their video poker machines.
Yes, they did.
And we were all a bit concerned that this, well, there's some good sides and bad side to that. Obviously, maybe enhanced security, but it also meant they could track people who didn't want to be tracked. They could rape players, and, you know, video security surveillance is one of those things you'd like to have a choice, and with that option, you didn't. Well, the interesting news is that the show held last week, you didn't see those cameras. So I asked executives at Scientific Games, I don't think anyone wanted to be quoted, but that's kind of back burner, not because they're worried about your poker concerns, Bob, but more likely they don't think that technology has evolved enough. If you've read the national publications, it has trouble with folks' faces that are other than white. You know, brown, black, and yellow and red people aren't identified as easily as white people. And so I think the technology is not there. It may come back in the future, but it's a little bit on the back burner now, which I think is good news for you guys.
And I just want to sort of comment that, and that's a camera that's 3 feet from your face looking at you directly.
Yeah.
So these people that are worried about the facial recognition that's up in a dome in the sky, it's even worse.
Well, as you know, those cameras in the sky are pretty darn good anyway. They can zoom into the pimple on your nose. But yeah, those cameras are small. In fact, I think 2 years ago when I showed Bob, I had to say, no, it's right there. It's right. See it? It's right. It was really even hard to see, remember?
If you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't. But it was, I don't know, bigger than an eighth of an inch, smaller than a quarter of an inch.
Well, there was also a company last time that was making a sign for the tables, for table games, that supposedly would read the size of everyone's bet. And that sign also had cameras that was supposed to do facial recognition, and that part of it is now gone because
yeah.
They also...
Well, you
thought the technology is not.
I know your listeners can't see it, but you're both sitting in front of laptop computers right now that probably have a camera up near the top. And a lot of folks who I know use those carry around a little piece of tape. They just put it over that little camera lens. So there are options in the future.
Sure.
No, I actually have never put a piece of tape over my lens. I've been to a lot of Zoom meetings. And, of course, if I just want to be in a Zoom meeting without being seen, there's usually some kind of way to turn off the video.
Yes.
But I'm not someone who thinks that hackers can use my camera when I don't know about it. Maybe they can.
They can. That's why my camera that I use has a little flap on it that you can put down or put up, because you never know. I've often been sitting at home talking with the wife, and Alexa will pop up and say something to me, and I'm going, oh, my God, they're listening everywhere.
Okay, so Acres Gaming, IGT, tracking video poker player skill.
It may be more than those two, but with the newer There's a operating system, not an operating system, but a standard in all slot machines called SAS. SAS stands for Slot Accounting System, and it regulates the protocols of what information a slot machine puts out. And in the newer versions of this, the current version is 6.x, but since about 5.5, machines have put out the ability to see how the games are played. So the systems, if someone chooses to collect that data, can see how you played your video poker game. No one's done much with that information in the past, but now IGT and Acres with their new foundation system both have an option where they can rate players' skill level on a game by the outcomes they use. For operators who are trying to figure out how to reward players, this is a dream come true. For your listeners, this is a nightmare. And so, because essentially I would think that most marketers, and if I was still active, I would do this, Bob. I fessed up to you. I probably wouldn't give you many points for your accumulated play. And I would give my friends, who are not very good video poker players, a lot more. That makes sense from their perspective. And so they're probably going to love this. Doesn't make much sense for advantage players. Now, the question is, who will use this? There's a lot of good technology out there that people don't use, or bad technology that people don't use. I don't know how well this will be adopted, whether, you know, people with lots of video poker play will use it. They might not, because they'll lose a lot of their players, or whether this will be adopted widely. But it is being advertised out there and offered to players who for years have been asking for it. It'd be interesting to see if they use it.
Yeah, I think the casinos are now being flooded with all kinds of data that they just don't know how to use. And they, you know, they don't want to hire data scientists.
I wrote an interesting article right now at the show. One of the phenomenons is people specializing in artificial intelligence or business intelligence. There were about 7 or 8 vendors doing this. 2 years ago, there was one. The year before that, there was none. And they all say just what you did. There's so much data out there, most people can't understand it. And they need these systems to do it. John Akers, who's a brilliant innovator in our industry, said, I'm actually going to collect more data, which is like player skill level, for those operators who want to use it to do things like, and this is good, they could look at your active play while you're playing. So let's say that Bob is gambling and he started with $5,000 in coin in and now his meter's down to about $20 a coin in. They could bonus him to try to keep him at the game a little longer. Well, Richard, if you were winning, heck with you, we don't need to bonus you. And John's argument is right now most casinos just whatever your historic coin is, you're in category A and we send you X. Whatever category you're in lower, we send you Y and so on. He's saying, why not send players who are having losing experience a better bonus, and winning players we don't need to worry about. Same amount of money, but we'll give it to those who we might have a better chance of keeping in the casino. That's not so bad. I like that one.
Yeah, it makes sense from a business standpoint.
Well,
sure.
And that's based on results over a really short period of time.
Exactly right.
And so in my autobiography, I looked at the situation where a player would lose $50,000 first and then win $50,000, or do it the other way around, and came to the conclusion it was much, much, much better to lose the money first, because then the casino bends over backwards to give you benefits because you've lost. And given in scenario, you're going to end up with the same amount of money from the machine. It's just in what order you do things. But if you win the money first, then a lot of places you're dead in the water. They kick you out.
I'm sure you've told your listeners there's lots of strategies because there's lots of flaws in how casinos track people.
Oh, I'm not recommending they lose $50,000.
No, I know you're not. But you know the strategies. In the manual system of table games, if you see the guy coming by with his little notebook, put out the big bet. And then when he leaves, put your normal bet on, and you might be rated higher than you should be. We've all known this for years. And there's some similar strategies in slots, depending on when your card's in, when it's out, whether you're winning, whether you're losing. those are normal and they're kind of baked into our strategies. So, but yeah, you got to be careful that we don't abuse that system. We use it well. There'll still be a level of customers at X Coin and we'll get certain rewards. But that ability to reward you during your trip is also important. With that data, too, I could also look at your demographics. And if I watch you and know, I saw from the time we shared in front of a football screen the other day that you like watching pro football on TV. Well, let's say you were a dyed-in-the-wool Raiders fan. You could set up a bonus, knowing your habits, that, hey, if the Raiders scored a touchdown, we'll give you X coin based on your thing. And so you can tailor bonuses if you're rewarding in real time. So there are some pluses and minuses to those kinds of strategies.
I also heard they had some people with a technology now that puts a map of where you go in the casino. So you started on this machine, and then you went to that machine, and then you went over here on the other side of the casino and did this. And this software, just it's more data, and they can look at where you went and how you spent your time.
We've actually had that for over a decade.
Yeah,
you know, we also know how far you came from. I mean, where, what part of the community you lived in, what part of the state you lived in, what state you lived in, how long your drive time was in. And once you're in the casino, we can do it. Here's the reason most people don't use it. It takes more memory. If I want to store that historically to see where you went, I've got to store it in memory. And most of the systems just combined all your trip data at the end of your trip and said, Bob had this much coin in and this much win-loss during that trip. By storing more data, like John Akers is talking about, you can save that data where they popped around and see what machines they liked, didn't like, winning and losing experience. That poker thing might apply if everyone ever gets skill games. I don't think they will, but if anyone ever does a successful skill game, that would be useful in that, too.
We spoke yesterday at the show. Well, as we take
last
this.
Last week, yeah.
So, to someone who used to run IGT's video poker department, and he said IGT has had this capability for like 8 years and just never got it activated. So now they're finally activating it at IGT. On the newer machines only, or newer?
At IGT, on the newer machines. Over at Akers, he can do it on old or new. I think it's one of those things that, like you were saying, Richard, it's technology we have, but will anyone use it because they have so much already? I don't know. Probably customers ask for it, Bob. I know, I got to tell you, since I started 35
years. Customers asked to be rated at the machines?
No, customers, meaning IGT's customers. Casino operators are the ones who've been complaining, hey, well, you and I have had this discussion 100 times. How do I properly reward an average video poker player versus a poor video poker player versus a very good one? So probably some customers have gone to that with that, and they decided to release that feature. I don't think all customers do, because video poker from an operator's point of view, and I'm talking globally, not specific properties, is a minor product. With some operations, it's a major, but with most, it's one of those properties. I love video poker as a segment, because I think it's a segment that if you didn't have it, those customers wouldn't be there. So I don't know what part of money that some operators don't like, just because it's not up to their higher averages, it's still money. And it's money you wouldn't have if they weren't there. But not everyone thinks that way.
Resorts World opened up a few months ago with a cashless system in their high limit room anyway. And it's largely been a disaster that it has not really worked real well. At the show, there might have been 10 or 15 different companies with cashless systems that they were trying to convince you is the best. What do you see as the future of cashless?
Well, in addition to the vendors, there were 7 seminars on that subject and a whole bunch on related topics like online gaming, sports betting, and regulation. It is coming. In fact, you guys have been using cashless for years. You just call it ticket in, ticket out. But the new form of cashless we're talking about is like you might use at the supermarket. I mean, I don't think I've used cash at Home Depot in 10 years. I go in and put my card there or enter my PIN, and it does it. Same at the grocery store. That's what they're talking about when they talk about cashless.
But are they talking about credit card, like being able to use a credit card to buy chips at the table or stick your credit card in a slot machine and buy?
I'll give you a really successful application that just last week at the show Scientific Games acquired, and it's called ACS PlayOn. It's in use at the Atlantis in Reno. It's in use at Cache Creek. It's in use at Thunder Valley in California.
Thunder Valley is a station casino?
No, it's
used
station
to be, I think.
Used to manage it, not anymore. It's a nice thing. And it's in use at San Manuel, a huge casino in Southern California. And it works wonderfully well, and the players love it. And there, though, it's PIN debit, Richard, and this is real important. PIN debit's a little different than credit card. PIN debit, you can't get in as much problem gambling trouble, meaning you can only spend everything you have in your bank account. With credit, you can spend all that and run up debt. The new systems they're talking about, both PIN debit and credit, just like you would do at the supermarket. One of the reasons cashless was so slow until now was because regulators were concerned about problem gambling.
As they should be, if you can stick your credit card in there. Yeah.
And like, well, you know, your wife might have a problem over at the dress store sticking in her credit card, running up debt. But
you don't know his wife very well.
Anyway, that was a concern. And why now? Because it's been out there at other stores for 10 years. And everybody pretty much blamed it on the pandemic, but for a couple different reasons. Just prior to the pandemic, sports and online betting started blossoming, especially sports online betting. Well, you got to kind of have cashless, because how are you going to deal with that at your house if you don't have cashless? So that was one, and the regulators realized they needed some regulations. There was also safety. As you know, I don't know what Bob does when he wins a big payoff other than write books, but he has a lot of cash, and it's always scary when you got a lot of cash and the casino probably makes some noise about you winning it. Then you got to walk to the parking lot with 20 grand in your pocket. So security is an issue. During the pandemic, everybody, right at first, they thought anything we touch was full of infectious disease, so cash handling was a problem. And lastly, labor was and is a problem right now with the pandemic. So all those factors together have really come together to say we need to get cashless, we need to do regulations. Nevada legislature authorized these regulations in 2016, I believe. Gaming Control finalized some regulations a year or two after that, and now have just further done it. Sightline Gaming is requesting approval, as we speak, to do facial recognition on mobile devices for cashless. So I think it's going to come. At one panel I was at, they asked when. And one gentleman said, in the five-year window, I think it'll be 50-50 cash and cashless. Another gentleman, optimistic, said, in 5 years, I think it'll be 95 cashless, 5% thing.
If you use a credit card as opposed to debit under this system, do they count that as a cash advance and you have all the associated fees?
No. It's just you have the associated fees of your credit card transactions.
Well, but when I charge something at the store, I have no fees.
Yes, you do. The store pays it.
Yeah, okay. But that's what I'm saying. In the casino,
if I buy in
for $500 at the table, is my credit card bill going to be $500?
Yes. The operator could choose not to. But this is one advantage, I think. Right now, you can do a credit card transaction right now at a casino in those kiosks, and you get a huge fee.
Right.
Just like you can take out ATM. Most of these cashless are not talking about that. The operator will probably assume those small transactional fee and the payment provider and all that. But I think, as that ACS PlayOn thing showed, the increased volume, keeping the player at the table, results in higher play and overall profitability higher than if they raped everybody with those fees they charge at ATM and credit card machines.
A lot of our listeners chase credit card bonuses in various ways, and so they need to churn lots of money through their credit card. And if they churn $5,000 in the first 60 days. They get back, you know, a date with Jennifer Aniston, whatever the reward is.
Could be $500.
Have you been doing video surveillance of me? I charge $2 things and 50 cent things just so I can get more airline miles to fly away somewhere.
Right. Well, some of them are, for example, 2% cash back. Yeah. So if you can run $100,000 through your credit card, you know,
you don't need to carry cards, right?
Yeah, casinos will allow you to put money into the machine this way.
Yeah.
So the question is, so you do however much money you put in, and then at the end of the day, you want that money, and you put it back into that. You use that credit card to take it back?
Some people talked about that, and one of the issues, they're not sure credit card companies are going to allow you to put the money back on the credit card. And that would kind of short-circuit what you're describing.
Well, no, it would be better.
You can put it back in your bank and pay off your credit card, which would make it go round and round.
Which is what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it goes right back on the same day, they're probably not going to give you the, you know, the 2% or whatever.
Yeah,
the
but oftentimes your bank is, sometimes your bank is different than your credit card bank. In my case, it is. You know, I have a Chase bank, but my credit cards go off to Citibank, and I'm Chase. So I don't know if they know about each other.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, if you say you take out $100,000 on your credit card, and if you had the ability at the end to cash out, go to the casino cage and say, put it back on my credit card, that would probably be worse for the guy who's trying to churn his credit card.
I don't think they're doing that. I don't think they will allow that. And I got to correct something. They're not going to allow you, certainly if they look at my credit history, allow me to take out $100,000 on my credit card. There will be limits of which you can use in the casino probably.
Sure.
Just right now, I've got fairly good credit, but my bank only says on my ATM I can take out $400 a day. You know, so they'll be my bank at the ATM.
Yeah, my bank. My credit card says we'll give you $20,000 or $50,000.
Well, in my case, I think it's about 10 or 12 grand I could do, but I can't go above that. So people will have established limits, and casinos may choose, you know, if they see it's me, we're only going to give him $2,000. So, you know, they'll be able to set limits. All these systems.
I can't imagine casinos saying, let's not give him too much money to gamble with.
Oh, no. They just not going to give me more than they think I can pay back.
Yeah.
But, Richard, you know from the table game size, we've been doing this for years with markers. And we
sure.
do all these evaluations. I don't think all the time I worked, I ever slept a whole night through without somebody calling saying, hey, Richard wants a TTO, which means Richard spent all his money and wants to go above it. And I look up, yeah, it looks like he's been good in the past. Okay, grant him a TTO. So this process was there before. The difference is it was a pain, Richard. It took time. They stopped the game. You're standing around. Everybody's waiting for
the
money.
And,
now with cash, this will be relatively instantaneously, which you'll as a player like. And we'll all like because we won't get those calls because the person telling you no will be your bank.
Yeah, it will speed up the game.
Yeah.
That's all good. It's just a problem for maintaining anonymity.
Yeah, and the bad guy will be back. Bob and I talked about that. In many ways, a lot of cashless providers are a form of tracking. Scientific Games at the show last week announced they'll work with any outside provider, but their preferred solution is a company called Global Payments. And they have a mobile app called VIP Mobility. That one allows you to be anonymous. Now, if you hit anti-money laundering or Title 31 or CRT or W2G requirements, that's different. But you'll be able to do the cashless anonymously. Most other cashless provider, it's a form of tracking.
Yeah.
Did you see any games that you thought would be interesting to our audience of APs and want to be APs?
You know, when you and I walked around at the show, it was so interesting. When I look at slot machines, I see his eyes glaze over a little bit. And then I go to the video poker games, and he gets all excited. My eyes glaze over a little minute. So it's in the eye of beholder. But on the slot machine side, there were some exciting things. One, you had to admit, Bob, everything was bigger, bolder, brighter, bigger.
Better screens, better video.
Aristocrat, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, came out with a double curve machine. They called it the double arc. It was huge, curved up over your head. Well, Scientific Games just took it and made it even bigger. In fact, it barely fits in the ceiling of most casinos. They called it Mural, and they introduced, and I showed you that one. It was just giant. So everything was bigger and brighter.
And some go all the way around to back-to-back machines, and there's...
That double arc I talked about, what they did is set one side, and then exactly 180 degrees, they set another one, and then they built a signage roof that went over it, so it's like you walk into a big curve. And a wrist scratch showed them almost like a tunnel, walking through a tunnel. Kind of neat. That was just signage, though. The base machine, though, was pretty big. But there's some interesting new concepts. Everyone's messing around trying to figure out how to do persistence. And that's a topic I love. I think the best persistence I've ever seen is Ultimate X Poker. You know, you get a little reward that you may get if you stay around, like if you got a 12X or whatever on there. But some slot machines still try it. The reason I said they've worked years for doing it, it didn't used to work when you... one of the first games was called Diamond Mine. You collected a bunch of diamonds in a cart, and when it got high enough, you won a big award. Well, they found that some people, I don't know what you call them, we called them fleas, they'd come and light up a cigar or, excuse me, pass gas or whatever.
Nice. So many of them listen to this show.
Well, God bless you, but they would try to edge the other player off so they could take advantage of that persistence bonus. I thought Ultimate X was so good because those bonus, while they were persistent and you gain them, you could obtain them relatively soon, so your chances of leaving a big one on the screen were minimal. So that's why
you can actually play them off in the regular Ultimate X game. And so instead of playing 10 coins a line, you play 5 coins, you get the bonus and don't create new ones.
Well, following up on that, by the way, a game you showed me and told me about, Ultimate X Gold, I went back and watched it, and they realized that psychology. So they leave these little bonuses all over the place. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And it kind of appeals to players walking around. Oh, my God, there's... But they do it on each individual hand, each individual winning combination, instead of on the overall can. So, but there was one slot machine, it's called the Kitty series from Scientific Gaming. It's interesting, it had little persistence bonus on a slot machine. I like that. And then there's a real battle over old mechanical reels, subject I like a lot.
They're still around?
Well, they've actually made a huge comeback.
Really?
A company called Every is dominant now. And if you go into high limit rooms, you'll see every reel. They look like an older Bally machine, but they work really well with some video top box features.
How many stops on the reels?
They're still physically about 22, like there's always been. But now they have video top boxes that can offer all kinds of intricate bonusing. So the winning combinations are extremely high. The 22 is because of the physical nature of a reel. You can't make the symbols too small.
Well, but it, so. But are they free spinning? Is each stop one chance in 22 of hitting, or is there a chip that's controlling them so this blank might hit?
How old is this guy? We changed that thing.
Well, that's why
30
I was surprised.
Years ago.
Yeah, I know.
You
that's
asked
why...
me how many physical stops.
Yeah, okay, but
virtual stops.
When you said the old spinning reels were back, I thought you meant like actual.
No, those went away.
Games.
Well, they're still called stepper, but it's a stepper electronic motor, not the old kind with clicks and notches.
Okay.
And I hope our viewers understand about that. That this thing called the Telnase patent years ago made those 22 stops in the virtual thousands or millions of stops. But yeah, it's basically the look and feel of a mechanical reel.
You
with
got
some
me
video
excited
things.
For a while there, buddy.
Well, it's still exciting because those are fun games, and they're the
Richard
games that
almost came out of retirement, but it was all your fault.
Well, they're still the games that work best among high-limit players in high-limit rooms, those early reels. And a company called Every did a really good job of making a game that looked like the old Bally games that everybody loved. Well, at this show, and I showed it to Bob, Scientific Games, the new Bally, copied Every, who copied it from them, and they had a small reel game that I was pretty optimistic about. And IGT introduced some toned-down versions of their reel machines with a thing called transmissive glass. And it's been out a few years, Richard, but you may have seen the early versions. You look at it, and for some reason, it looked a little fuzzy. But the reels were still there. And then every once in a while, you'd see video in front of the reels. But it looked fuzzy. Well, they now have a transmissive reel that's totally clear, and you don't know that there's anything in it. It looks like regular glass. until some bonus feature pops up in front of it. It was really kind of neat. They call it their Diamond Reel Spinning Series, or Diamond RS, and I like that cabinet a lot. But again, I can see Bob's eyes glazing over when I talk about these slots.
Hopefully he won't get into Keno. I just will fall asleep during that.
You know, I talked with them and I asked, what's the average hold among all players, not players like Bob or me or whoever? And most pokers in most jurisdictions, if you take them all together, about 2.5%. Keno's are about 8%. Guess which segment's growing more than video poker? Keno. Interesting, isn't it?
It is, and I actually am surprised that the Keno holds are that low.
I always set them at 4 or 5% at Pechanga and had great play, and I was surprised when he told me they're 8%. But before he started writing books and made everyone wise, poker players did some stupid things. At Pechanga once, I looked at the pay tables of the Keno, and I saw there were some Kinos we had at 10%. I went, oh my God, I'm going to set this at 4%. Well, what the 4% game did is took down the big high jackpot, I think it was 10,000, and made it like 2,000, but it was much better in the low pay table. And since no one looked at the odds, they were furious. They wanted me to put back the 10% game.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
That's like when IGT's auto hold used to be very bad at... Verona had it a lot, which was not real far from where Buddy worked at Pechanga. And then they shifted to the new auto hold of IGT, which was pretty good. And players revolted. They had what auto hold did for the casino was sped up the game, so they're just hitting the button instead of taking time making decisions and teaching them how to play wrong. Because they would assume the old bad auto hold was good. And so now when the new auto hold came out with correct holds, they revolted because they felt this had to be wrong because the one that they trusted was before.
I teach video poker, and Bob's got to be astonished by that because he knows I'm not that good. But I teach that to operators in academic courses I do for the University of Nevada, Reno. And I quote him a lot. And one subject they always ask is about auto hold, and the other one is double down on wins, double up whether you do it or not. And I don't know if this is still true, but I said, what do you think about auto hold? And I said, in most casinos, I recommend we don't turn it on. And the reason is, I think one appeal to video poker is you feel like you have a choice in the outcome. And if you're using auto hold, you might as well stick a toothpick in the play button and just let it play on the wall like they do in Europe. And I talked to Bob, and I went, he'll have the same answer. And he goes, no, I love auto hold. And I went, this was back when. And I went, why? And he says, one, it allows me to test my skill, and it plays faster. And I was really surprised. Like, he loved catching errors in auto hold. That was just his thing. And I was very surprised by that. What's your answer today with that change
you
talked about?
Well, I haven't seen auto hold on for a long time.
Yeah, most people don't. Probably because of that reason I told about.
And so, because auto hold right now is good. And the last place I saw was Viejas, which another place used to work, but this was 5 or so years ago. I don't know if they still have it on, but they had auto hold on very loose games. I mean, 99.95% games with a slot club and with comps and stuff, and they had a good auto hold on it, which was not smart management.
I'll tell you what my philosophy has always been, is I did not turn auto hold on because of what I told you, is I felt a benefit of video poker was people like to feel they had total control. But I was also guest service conscious enough, if any good player asked, we would enable it for them.
And good player is defined as?
Good player, meaning he was volume, whether he was talented or not didn't matter. But if he was a good player for us with win and consistent, loyal player, we would grant his request. Same with double up. I always thought double up was a sucker bet, because imagine you and I playing double up with Bill Gates. And in some ways, casino are like Bill Gates. I mean, I could double up all day long, but eventually he's going to win because he can afford to go big and I can't. So I never turned that on. Unless a, quote, good customer asked us to, we'd turn it on for them.
My request is, can you turn off the sound?
You know? Some people like to turn it up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I have double up stories, but we'll do those later. Buddy mentioned Ultimate X Gold. It's actually been out for a year
about
or
a
so,
year.
And it's in a lot of casinos. And wasn't at the previous show, which was 2 years ago. And so I looked at it strongly here, and some of the things that I found, it's all Ultimate X. It's 10 coins per line. You earn multipliers by dealt paying hands. So if you get a pair of jacks or better, your multiplier would go up by one unit for three of a kind and straights. If you get a dealt straight, well, your multiplier will go up on flushes and full houses. And so the multipliers keep going up. And they have different maximums. They can go up to 10x. Some top off at 4x. And they keep there until they're hit. So if you have a full house multiplier that's at 4x, you can get another straight, and that multiplier will go up. Eventually, when you get a full house, then it goes back down to 1x. It is frequently in a positive state where the multipliers are high enough, except it is exceedingly difficult to figure it out accurately. The mathematician behind the game told me for jacks or better, Ultimate X Gold, which is one of the simpler games, on triple play, there are more than 3,000 different states, which would be, well, the three of a kinds at 3x and the flushes at 4x would be one state, and three of a kind. And so the various combinations of multipliers, 3,000 of them. If you go to 10 play, same game, there's 500,000 different states. And so working it out, you need a supercomputer. And even if you had one, putting it into a relatively simplified strategy sounds pretty complicated to me. Those of you who are interested in it, The Wizard of Odds, Michael Shackelford, his best guess is the three of a kind is the best indicator of whether it's positive or not. So you can read his stuff at thewizardofodds.com. And so it's complicated, but it is fun. Because you can just walk by and glance, goes, wow, that four of a kind's at 9x, and that one's at 8x, and this one's at whatever. And it looks like it has to be positive. Well, maybe yes, maybe no.
You know, what's even sad is I ask who's keeping Pokers for Winners up to date and stuff. Some of those newer games aren't there. So you really have, unless you listen to this show, you really have very little input on how to play those newer games.
Many of the newer games, not Ultimate X Gold, many of the newer games are listed on the Pro Series by VideoPoker.com. And it's a monthly charge or an annual charge. And it does not create its own strategy. It will tell you how to play any individual hand. And so you can build a strategy with it, should you want to. But if you want to do it for Quick Quads or Ultimate X or various other games that are in the VideoPoker.com library. All right. So I kind of just been... The Ultimate X Gold is definitely a VideoPoker.com product, as is the Pro Gaming. So while we're talking about commercial-oriented, I hope they consider they've already had one for VideoPoker.com.
Hey guys, this is Colin from BlackjackApprenticeship.com, and if you're serious about card counting, I'd encourage you to check out the Blackjack Apprenticeship membership. It has the training tools you'll need to beat the game, like our comprehensive video course and our training suite, so you can learn each skill and virtually test yourself before ever stepping foot in a casino. It also includes the tools you'll need to succeed, like our pro betting software, casino database, results tracking software, and access to a community of like-minded advantage players to network with in our members forum and chat room software. You can find out more at blackjackapprenticeship.com.
South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning at least 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In October, they have the $500,000 plus guaranteed Monster Money Madness promotion at all times during the month. There will be two casino-wide progressives going. The smaller one ranges from $1,000 to $2,500, will be hit on an average of three times a day. The larger one starts at $10,000 and must be hit by $25,000. Should you be playing the larger one when it goes off and not be the actual winner, you will receive $25 in free play on your card. To be eligible for both drawings, you must have your card inserted and have played at least $1 in the previous minute. A continuing promotion at the South Point is Prime Time Mondays for players 50 years and older. Of which in the room I'm reading this now, there are three of us who qualify for that. You receive $50, 50% off bingo, movies, and all restaurants that are open when you use your points. All right.
Hey, I just want to make a comment. Unlike you two, I'm not sponsored by that group. But I got to tell you, if you're an operator or a customer or interested in customer service, you need to go study what Michael Gaughan has done at that property. He's just a brilliant operator. He's managed to offer really good value to players while at the same time making great profits. And you can do both. And I think a lot of corporate people in Las Vegas have forgotten that lesson. And I just admire what he has done and his, you know, the lessons he learned from his father probably before him. But just a magnificent operator at that property.
Yes, actually, I had lunch with Mr. Gaughan recently. And he said there's a big advantage to him now that he's only operating one property. He used to manage the Orleans and Gold Coast and Barbary Coast and Sun Coast. And so he's kind of spread out. When he moved over to what is now the South Point, which was briefly South Coast for a while, he brought all his best employees with him. So he has employees who have been with him for 45 years. And wow. So, and fiercely loyal to him.
Well, not to demean anyone, but the most interesting example is he opened that original South Coast property. And again, I'm way oversimplifying this, but in effect sold it to Boyd, who struggled with it, repurchased it at a discount, and it's wildly successful. So he's just a good operator to study if you're in this business as a career.
Yeah. What he said actually was, 1920 and 1921, on average, have been two good years. 20 was
20,
you mean
20?
20 and 21.
I know you're old, but not
1921. Well, maybe. So 20 and 21, on average, were good years. But 20 was a disastrous year because they were closed for so long. And 21 has been a spectacular year. So casinos, at least in the local market in Vegas, the local casinos are doing really well. And they're cutting out a lot of expensive things like buffets and various other things that cost some money and are basically good for the players. You don't find them anymore.
You know, I keep in contact with nationwide operators, and the story pretty much nationwide, unless you're convention tourist based like a lot of the Las Vegas Strip, they've had record years, Bob, both in overall volumes and in profitability because the reasons you mentioned, they were able to eliminate some loss leaders. A lot of them reduced the machine counts yet made record revenues. And it's no brainer. They took out weak, horrible games and put in better games. Plus demand. You know, for a while we said, oh, it's pent-up demand. But it's continuing. We're beyond pent-up demand. It's still booming. And I think largely, last week I went to Circa during, made the mistake of going in there on a Sunday during a football Sunday.
Was it noisy?
Well, They check IDs at the door, and yes, once I got in there, I assumed they were checking to make sure no one under 50 got in, and somehow it didn't correctly record me because they were a younger demographic. I considered that wonderful. Yes, most of them were drinking beer, eating pizza, and watching the game, but there was a lot of people playing slot machines, and they were younger. That, to me, is a really great sign that our industry's got a great future ahead of it.
Well, Circa is one of the few places in Vegas. It has a couple other related properties. But they scan your ID, and they look at the back of your driver license. And so I assume they're collecting data.
Now, oh, yeah.
And when they're scanning my ID, it cannot be because they think I'm under 21.
And it's odd that they're doing it there, but he doesn't do it at the D or the Golden Gate. So,
well, he certainly was. Are you sure he isn't?
He wasn't. He wasn't doing the D or the Golden Gate. He was at Circa, but not the other two. Has that changed?
Well, depends on when you look at. The last time I went into the D, they were doing it. This is a couple months ago. So, but this is, now, I don't get asked for ID. I'm 74, although I am a young 74, and I can pass for 73 if I try. But they still, they shouldn't be asking my ID for... Well, to get in.
Bob and I are the same exact age, but I look under 21 often. And, you know, they scan everybody, I notice. So it's brilliant. I think they're using the age thing or maybe even COVID. But what a way to collect database information.
And our audience would use another word than brilliant.
Yeah.
So
I haven't been in there.
You should see it. It's
I have to let them scan my ID.
Let me tell you why I like it. One is they know how to build a parking garage. You know, most people build these horrible places that look like you've gotten in the third level of Satan's domain to get in the parking garage, like where
and
we
scrape
were last
your doors
weekend.
Around the corners.
Well, like
and
D for one, which
and they're
is
dark and everything else. And so it's a brilliant parking garage, well lit, good video. Wi-Fi throughout the parking garage. So he's done that. Food specials. You know, it just feels, to me, it feels like a modern version of the horseshoe. A gambler built the casino. Whereas you go to Resorts World, equally magnificent, but obviously targeted at a whole different player, resort kind of player, not a gambler player. So I really like what Stevens has done there with that property.
Several weeks ago, we got an email from our from a listener who said he was banned from a casino, but not trespassed, and was considering going back because he also played at related properties. I sent the comment to Buddy, who said basically go to security, and they would have the master lists. And I said that on the air last week on Bob and Richard Answers Their Mail section. And Richard says, don't go back and ask anybody. If you were barred, they're not going to change your mind. So,
well, I that's not quite what I said. What I said is it really depends on why you were barred.
Uh-huh.
So if you got drunk and disorderly one night and they backed you off, I think there is a chance that you could contact them and they would go and tell them, you know, look, I was drunk. I was out of line. I'd like to come back. But it also is going to depend a lot on how good a customer were you.
I want to clarify remarks. Security maintains and enforces that list. They seldom, unless it's a fight or drunken disorderly or something like that, they're seldom the one that puts you on the list, unless it's criminal or disorderly. Most of it is going to come from problem gambling, which is an issue, and some will come from they just don't want you there because you're the world's best card counter, and that comes from the pit and stuff. You can get off many ways. One is to go to security if you've been beating up people, and now you can show them that you've joined the Quaker religion and everything's fine, and they may or may not take you off. The other one with problem gambling, every casino probably has a committee to deal with problem gambling issues, and they certainly don't want bad news of letting a person with a big trouble back into the casino. But if you can go in and show them that your bank is stable and you take in your minister or anything like that, you can probably get back in the casino and they'll closely monitor you. But again, once they do that, they send that information to security. So what I meant was security controls it and do it. if you go in and want to get off the problem gambling list, don't start with security. They're not going to take you off. You'll have to do it probably with your host. If you don't have a host, your minor player, you'll just appeal to the general manager or the version or his secretary, administrative assistant, to get off of that list. And again, we almost act like that's a sinister thing. It's a good thing. Protect the public, protect those with a problem gambling issue. You know, the whole issue of banning advantage players got an interesting bad press, and Bob and I had a lot of discussion about that at one casino where they tried some experiments with really accurately tracking table games players, that half the people they were throwing out because they thought they were huge, great card counters weren't that good, and they were actually very good customers, and some players we hadn't recognized before were fabulous players and things like that. So the whole issue of banned players is really interesting. He used to come into my casino before he saw the light and came over to the consulting side, and I don't think I ever banned him, you know. So
I never played much at Pechanga.
Well, he was at Atlantis in the old days a little bit, you know, and a few other properties, but I would never ban a good player. I would go down and talk to him to try to learn more. So hopefully enlighten operators. But again, with corporate culture, there's some different thinking in the industry.
Well, after you left the Atlantis, the Ferraris became quite adept at banning video poker players.
Sorry to hear that.
All right. At the end of our show, we usually have a recommended section. So, Richard, do you have something to recommend today?
You know what? I do not. So I don't have anything new this week. So.
Maybe I can do two.
You can do two. And actually, I just discovered an extra question I wanted to ask you. So we'll do that first. And then if we have time, I'll give a recommend and then you can. But and that is that at the gaming show, Aristocrat, which is a slot video poker manufacturer, had a party on Wednesday night where they invited people to Allegiant Stadium, which is where the Raiders play. It's a brand new stadium. So what'd you hear about that party?
You mean the home of UNLV?
UNLV.
Actually, everybody I talked to said it was the best party they had in a year. The concept isn't new. A company called AGS held a party down in Dallas, and we went to their practice facility outside of Dallas, and it was a wonderful party. But Aristocrat did it here in Las Vegas, and it was wonderful, and everybody said it was the best party. But there were also like 8 or 10 casino executives walking around kind of stiffly, and I said, what? They pulled their groin or injured their foot trying to kick field goals, and I thought that was hilarious.
I think that's really cool that they allowed them to try to kick field goals.
Well, a lot of people don't understand. Many, many people will use that stadium for special events. Imagine, would you guys have liked to have been there and gone down and seen the weight room and the training room and the film room?
Oh, sure.
And come up and try to throw a pass somewhere or maybe kick a field goal and tear your groin out? What a wonderful experience to do that. And because when else are you going to be on that field? So I think it'll become a very popular venue for corporate events.
I'm sure it's
like
very
that.
Cheap, too.
Well, Aristocrat's got a few dollars, but
yeah.
But I missed that party, sadly, but a lot of people went there, and they all said best time they ever had, except for those limping.
All right, so I'm going to limp into my recommendation, and that is a book by John Grisham called Sooley, S-O-O-L-E-Y. Now, I've read most of Grisham's novels, and most of them are various aspects of the legal profession. But he has a few about sports, including Bleachers and Calico Joe. This book falls into this category of sports. This time it's about a fictional basketball player from a high schooler from South Sudan who comes to the United States as a member of a youth national team and then stays here because there's a severe civil war in his home country and his village has been overrun. It's a sports story from a different sort of perspective than we usually hear. I enjoyed the book immensely. Buddy, do do you have a recommended for us today?
Yeah, you said I didn't have to talk about gaming, but I will talk about gaming. But one I loved is last week they had the premiere of CSI Las Vegas. And you're going, no, that's not a premiere. This is the original folks, two of them at least, are back, three of them are back from the original show. And this week was a second version. And it's an interesting story because they have all these shots that you and I went, oh, I know that place. And since America's really discovered Vegas even more than they had back when the original show happened, I really liked it. The local CBS affiliate, the night of the premiere, did a really interesting thing. They went over to the real CSI Las Vegas. And it was kind of funny. You know, the offices weren't as sexy with glass windows that looked on the strip. And actually, the crime lab is totally separate from the evidence-gathering things. And surprisingly, all the women, both divisions are headed by women. And they were nice, handsome-looking women, but they certainly weren't the movie stars in high heels that I saw on CSI. So I encourage you to watch it. It's great for the town. It's fun to see in well-written stories, but great fantasy.
I always like seeing a show or a movie, you know, that's shot in Vegas.
Or another town that you're really familiar with. Like, you know a lot about Chicago. I know a lot about Los Angeles.
Especially uplifting ones like leaving Las Vegas, right? No.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was great to see it. The other thing I like, there were several things. I'm going to put two in one in that it's fun sometimes to see the old things come back. And Aruze, a company, had a claw machine right out of the carnival where you put your money in, the little claw comes down. And I talked to the guy and they said, oh, this is cool. Is there skill involved? And he winked and said, of course not. It's all RNG controlled. But still, it's fun. And you drop it in. And guess what? You pick up a ball every time. But it depends where this wheel is spun and what your value will be. So I like that. But one that is kind of serious is
you pick up a ball, but then you have to move it to the basket. And
still, usually, you can do it pretty
usually easy. It drops off before it gets to the basket.
Yeah, but, you know, it's got to make a profit somewhere along the line. And the other one, though, that Ruse also had that I think will be big is they had a roll to win craps table. It looks, I always call it craps, and all my friends in the pit call me and say, it's not craps table, it's a crap table. I don't see the distinction, but anyway, it's called roll to win, and it's a traditional crap tub. But what it is the entire surface is a video screen that can change to anything. And the players don't reach out and put they all have individual terminals. And then they roll the dice, unless they're in California, and the RNG outcome is, I mean, the RNG is the physical roll of the dice. What are the advantages? One is craps is one of the harder games to deal from an operator point of view, because you have to have skilled thing. And it's really hard because generally they don't make as much tip as the good-looking blackjack dealer. So it's hard to get people to do that. This, an idiot can run it. I mean, it's not an idiot, but it's really much easier to run the game with those terminals because they make the correct payouts without being math whizzes. And by the way, I strongly suggest if you like math, start as a crap dealer. I did when I was in college, and it's wonderful to increase the speed of your math calculations in your head.
A roulette dealer wouldn't be a terrible second choice.
Not bad at all. You learn 35 to 1, 36 to 1 real quick. So, but those are both good masculine. But this was a game that I think a lot and will be more efficient and no mistakes, you know.
Yeah, when I dealt craps, that we had a guy who was a crap dealer at the Aladdin who would come in and, you know, he always wanted to bet, you know, $37 on the line with $62 in odds or something, you know. And
well, naturally, you just whip that answer out, right?
Well, you know, unless it hits on the very next roll, you have time to figure it out. But the box man, we had box men back then, and the box man is supposed to be overseeing that too.
Richard,
but often the box man would look up at me and go, what's it pay? You know, so.
Have you ever admitted on the air what short sticking is?
Oh, no, we've never talked about short sticking.
Bob, do you know what short sticking
is? We are out of time, though, but no. Yes, buddy, what is short sticking?
Well, I'm sure Richard never did it. But
never.
Occasionally, you would have a very attractive person at the end of the table shooting the dice. And some of those ladies wore low-cut dresses. So when you were the stick man, you always return the dice to the player, and you try to get it very close to him so he can conveniently pick the dice up. But you'll notice this still occurs today. You'll notice.
I think we can figure it out.
the dice don't go as far down the table, and oftentimes I've seen the ladies actually fall into the pit. They got so bad on it, but never happens, though, does it, Richard?
No. Uh-huh. Dealers would never do that.
Buddy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me again.
Richard, thank you. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.